Back in January of 2010, there was a retaining wall in a neighborhood in San Antonio, Texas. A retaining wall that collapsed in that neighborhood and would have done significant damage if it had not been caught early enough and repaired soon enough. But when the engineers came in to check out this retaining wall and try to figure out what the problem was, they discovered that it was not built to specifications. They found that this retaining wall that the builder had skimped on the mortar that was used to rebuild this retaining wall, and so over those few months and years that it had been there, because it was not built according to the blueprint, according to those specifications, it was not able to stand against the pressure, against the weight, against the time that transpired, and before long, that retaining wall collapsed. You know, that's not unlike what is happening to a lot of marriages today. A lot of marriages today that are not being built upon the original specifications, that are not going back and following the original blueprint that was given by God for marriage, and over time, they're not able to bear the weight and the burden that comes with the years of being married, and so sometimes marriages today are collapsing. This morning I want us to go back and I want us to look at heaven's blueprint for strong marriages. You know, when God gave His blueprint for marriages, He intended those marriages to be strong. You know, He didn't give a blueprint for weak marriages. If you were to pick up your Bible and say, okay, if He gave a blueprint for strong marriages, did He give a blueprint for weak marriages? No, He didn't give one for weak marriages unless we just don't follow His original plan. But I want us to do this morning, go back to Genesis chapter 2, and we're going to look at one verse in our lesson this morning. In Genesis chapter 2 and verse 24. And look at what was God's blueprint. What was heaven's blueprint? If we want to have marriages today that are not like that retaining wall out in San Antonio, Texas. If we want to have marriages today that are not weak because they have not been built according to specifications, what do we need to do? What can we do? What is it that the blueprint of God's Word gives to us that we need to implement in our marriages today? You know, at the beginning of our services every week, we announce those who are celebrating anniversaries this coming week. We do that to celebrate and to rejoice with those who have been married for however many years they've been married. We also do that as a reminder to the rest of us that, you know, this is the way God planned it to be. God had a plan for marriage from the very beginning. And when we pick up that plan, those blueprint, those specifications, we put them into place, we can rejoice. We can rejoice that we can have strong marriages even this day. When you go to Genesis chapter 2 and verse 24, the first part of God's blueprint for strong marriages is found when we need today to affirm heaven's priority for marriage. Look at the very beginning of chapter 2 and verse 24 where it says, "Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother." That's an indication of priority. That's an indication that I am leaving something else in order to come and establish a new relationship. And now this new relationship is going to now have priority over everything else. That's the way God designed it to be. God set priority to the marriage relationship. If we were to take time this morning and go over to Ephesians chapter 5 and look in that chapter how God describes the relationship between Christ and His church. And He goes through this passage and talks about the relationship between Jesus and His church and between the church and Jesus. And you get to the end of this chapter and He says, you know what I've been telling you about? Yes, it's about Jesus and His church, but the application that is there is about husbands and about wives. Was it a priority for Jesus to come and to die upon that cross for His bride, for His church? Is the church a priority for Christ? Should not Christ be a priority for the church? God says that if we're going to have strong marriages, that they must have priority in our life. There's only one thing. There's only one thing that takes precedent over our marriage relationship, and that is our relationship with Christ. But yet, if our devotion to Christ were to be coupled with our devotion to our marriage and brought together, those two hand in hand will strengthen each other. But God designed marriage so that there would not be anything in your life other than your devotion to Christ. There would not be anything in your life that would be more important. Your marriage and your spouse is to be more important than even your own ambitions for life. Marriage and spouse are to be more important than that, more value than that. Your marriage and your spouse would be more important to you than your belongings. They're to be more important to you than your computer. How much time do you spend on your computer as opposed to how much time do you spend with your spouse? Our marriage and our spouses are to be more important than our belongings and our computers. It's to be more important to you than your dollars. How important is it for us to make a living? How important is it for us to have money in our wallets? It needs to be less important than our marriage and our spouse is to us. Your marriage and your spouse is to be more important to you than your education. It's to be more important to you than your friends and your family. Doesn't mean that you can't have these things in your life. Doesn't mean that these things can't have an important place in your life. But God designed your marriage so that it was more important than your friends are to you. So that it's of a higher priority than your family is to you. It's of a higher priority than your game or games are to you. Whether those be games that you watched yesterday, or whether those be games that you play, your marriage more important than any of those things. Your marriage is more important than your hobbies. Whatever you enjoy doesn't mean you can't have hobbies. Doesn't mean you can't have fun. But your spouse and your marriage must come first. Your spouse and your marriage are more important than your weird, strange idiosyncrasies that make up who you are. Does it matter to you whether it comes off the top, the paper, or whether it comes off the bottom? How important is that to you? Is that a deal breaker? How important is it to you whether that tube is squeezed from the middle or whether that tube is squeezed from the end? Why are you laughing? Because you know there's some things about you that are just weird. And it's got to be your way. And God says your spouse and your marriage are more important than your oddities about your life. Doesn't mean you can't be weird, thank God. Doesn't mean that you can't have your own opinions about these things, but they cannot come to a higher place in your life than your marriage is, than your spouse is. Neither can your job. Your job is not more important than your... It can't be. Not according to God's plan. Not according to God's specifications. Even your own kids are not of a higher priority than your spouse. That's the way God designed the marriage relationship. That other than our devotion to Christ, it is to have priority. Even priority over our own life. Is your marriage more important to you than your own life? Is your marriage more important to you than your mobile device? Some of us couldn't be separated from our mobile device more than a few minutes. If you left home this morning and you forgot a kid, you might say, well, you know, they'll be okay. But if you left home this morning and you forgot your mobile device, you'd be late for church to go back and get your mobile device. How much time do you spend glued to to your handheld device, how much time do you spend with your spouse? Might be an indication of what's important in your life. Doesn't mean you can't have a mobile device. Doesn't mean you can't have the nicest one out there. Good to see you this morning, Lynn, by the way. I'm glad you're here. Doesn't mean that you can't have the best apps and the best games. But it means that if it becomes more important than your marriage and your spouse, it has taken a wrong place in your life. Your spouse and your marriage are to be more important than even your own name, your own reputation and who you are. More important in your life than even your online activities. More important in your life than your parents. Your spouse and your marriage are to be more important than quilting. I couldn't come up with another cue, so that was it. I don't know what hobbies you've got. Okay, we've got hobbies over into the H there. I don't know what hobbies you've got, but if quilting is one of them, or whatever else you might put in that category, it cannot be more important than your spouse. Your recreation. Recreation cannot be more important. Cannot take a higher priority than your marriage relationship. Your social media cannot be more important. Cannot take a higher priority in your marriage. Your television. The shows that you watch. The games that you watch. The sports that you watch. The movies that you watch. The whatever that you watch. Cannot be more important. It may be that it would do some marriages well to take the TV out with the trash this week and leave it at the curb, in order that the marriage might have a higher priority than that device. Our marriages, our spouses, are more important than the unpaid bills. How often do we fight? How often do we argue about the bills and about the money? There's stuff more important than the bills. It's called your spouse. It's called your marriage. There's something more important than video games. It's your spouse and it's your marriage. Something more important than going and working out at the gym. It's your spouse and your marriage. What's he going to put for X? Your spouse and your marriage are more important than your xylophone. Or whatever other instrument it might be for you. It might be your guitar, it might be your keyboard, it might be your piano, it might be your kazoo. I don't know what it is. But if you've got something in your life that becomes more important than your spouse, you need to get rid of it. You need to rearrange your priorities. It's more important than your yoga. It's more important than your Zoom Zoom. And that can be these little stuffed animal critters, or that can be your car. You decide what it is. Doesn't mean that you can't have these things in your life. Doesn't mean that these things cannot be important in your life. But God's original specifications for marriage is that your spouse and your marriage are to have the utmost priority in your life, and nothing save your devotion to Christ is to be of a higher priority. This day, this very day, you may need to go home and rearrange some priorities. So that your wall, so that your strength of marriage can come back to the original design that God gave to it. That it might not be like that wall that collapsed because it didn't follow the plan. None of these things can relegate your marriage to second place. If we go back and we look at this blueprint, that's the first thing that we see. In Genesis chapter 2 and verse 24, therefore a man shall leave his father and mother. If we are going to reestablish heaven's priorities, then we have to do it by affirming heaven's priority for our marriage. But number two, go back to Genesis 2 and verse 24. Number two, the Bible says that we must apply heaven's epoxy to our marriage. What does it say? Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife. I used to love it when my dad would get ready to make epoxy. I knew that there was some serious business going on When Dad would go and get the powder, and he'd get everything out, and he'd start mixing up. Who has mixed up and made their own epoxy before? I knew we were doing some serious business. Something was seriously broken if we were making epoxy. If Elmer's couldn't fix it, super glue couldn't fix it, buddy, we were going to epoxy it, and you better not keep your finger there too long or else you're going to lose your finger. All right? So he'd mixing up this. I still have things in my attic to this day that were put together with Dad's epoxy 30, 35 years ago. They're still being held together today because, you know, that's what epoxy does. It sticks together. It's not. God has an epoxy for our marriage. Married couples, the Bible says, Genesis 2 and verse 24, are to be joined together. The word literally means they are to be glued together. They are to be welded together. Turn your Bibles to Job 41. I want to show you another place where this same Hebrew word is used. The word, whether you have be joined to or cling to, whatever word you have in Genesis 2:24, we've got the same word over in Job 41. In fact, as you turn there, you also see on the screen that this same word is also used in 2 Kings 5:27, and there it's used about Gehazi. You remember Gehazi and how he was inflicted with Naaman's leprosy because of his greed. Gehazi was inflicted with that leprosy. And it says in 2 Kings chapter 5 that leprosy would cling to his body. What does leprosy do to a body? How does it stick onto a body? It's glued. It's epoxied. Same word in Genesis 2:24. But I want to look in this in Job 41. Have you ever read about the Leviathan in Job 41? What an awesome creature this was. If you don't believe that the Bible talks about dinosaurs, you haven't read Job 41. Here's God's description of a massive dinosaur back in Bible times, a creature that, and we won't take time to look at all that it says about the strength of this creature. Here is a fire-breathing creature in the Bible. I want you to drop down. Look at verse 12. I will not conceal his limbs. Job 41, verse 12. I will not conceal his limbs. His mighty power is graceful proportions. Who can remove his outer coat? Who can approach him with a double bridle? Who can open the doors of his face with his terrible teeth all around? I want you to see this massive creature. But now look in verse 15. His rows of scales. Get this picture of this creature. His rows of scales are his pride. He has rows of scales that wrap his body. And look at what it says in verse 15. They shut up tightly against his body as a seal. These rows of scales seal against his body. Verse 16, one who is so near, talking about these scales, one is so near another that no air can come between them. Take that for just a moment and remove that expression and put it and apply it to marriage. What if this was talking about marriage that says that this married couple is shut up tightly as with a seal? What if this was saying about marriage, one is so near another that no air can come between them? How glued together are we as married couples? Look in verse 17. They are, and here's this word, same Hebrew word used in Genesis 2:24. They are joined one to another, glued together, epoxied together, welded together. They are joined one to another. They stick together and cannot be parted. He's talking about the scales of the Leviathan. How they are bound together. No air can come between them. They are joined together and they cannot be parted. And this is the same word that God used about marriage in Genesis 2:24. Are we glued together as married couples? Do you know that God tells us what glue to use? Fortunately, He didn't tell you to use epoxy. That would hurt. All right? And that would just be just a little bit creepy and a little bit inconvenient, right? If we had to epoxy. But what do you know that God tells you what glue to use? Before Elmer's was ever invented, all right? Before any of these other things, He tells us the glue. Do you know what glue He tells us to use in our marriages? Look in Colossians chapter 3. You want to see the glue? If you want to see what glue God tells us to use, it's over in Colossians chapter 3, where we're going to read about a bond, another word for glue, a bond that God tells us to employ, a bond that God tells us to apply to our relationships. Look at Colossians chapter 3 and verse 14. But above all these things, put on love, which is the glue, epoxy, bond, which is the bond of perfection. Now, God is talking about the relationship that Christians have with one another, that Christians have with one another within the church, that we are to express and we are to put on agape love for each other. This agape love that expresses itself in an unselfish way, that expresses itself through unconditional terms, and it expresses itself by seeking what is best for the one that receives that love. God says, above everything else, put on this love. Do you have that kind of love? Is that the kind of love that is gluing you and your spouse together? God says that is the bond, the glue of perfection. It's the glue, it's the bond, it's the epoxy we've got to have between husband and wife. The relationship that says it is not about me, it's unselfish. It's not about what you do or don't do that I like, it's unconditional. It is about what you need that I will make a priority for me. To seek what your highest need and what is best for you. Back up two verses for just a minute. We could go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and we won't do that, but we could go over to that chapter and read about agape love, but you read many of the same things here about agape love as you do in 1 Corinthians 13. Look at verse 12. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on. Do you have this in your marriage? Put on tender mercies. Would you describe the way you treat your husband or your wife as tender mercy? Put on kindness. Is that the word that you would describe as your relationship? Put on humility. Put on meekness. Put on long suffering. Somebody says, I got that one. I've been suffering for a long time. I don't have these other things, but I can relate to that one. No, you know that's not what it means. It means that I am short in coming to anger. It means I am long fused. She can do all sorts of things. He can say all sorts of stuff, but I am long and coming to anger. That's agape love. God says put that on. Verse 13, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, this is talking about the relationship in the church, but have you ever taken this verse and put it into the marriage? If any husband or wife has a complaint against another, surely no marriage is in here. Surely nobody in here would ever have a complaint about their spouse, right? You've never complained one bit about what he did or what she said, right? God says if anyone has a complaint against their spouse, another, what do? Bear with one another. Forgive them even as Christ forgave you. And that's where he says, put on agape love. God reveals to us the glue that will hold our marriages together. And if a husband and if a wife will apply this epoxy, will apply this glue of agape love, 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 7 says, agape love never fails. Who is most important in your marriage? The first point that we looked at this morning is that the marriage relationship must be most important in your life, second only to your devotion to Christ. It must have priority. But in your marriage relationship, who is the most important one of the two of you? And as long as you don't say, "I am," you're on the right track for your answer. When you're able to say, "He is," or "She is," you've got agape love in your home. We won't take as long to talk about this one, but if you go back to Genesis chapter 2 and verse 24, there's a third element of this blueprint. First element is to affirm that within our marriage we have heaven's priority. The second element of this blueprint is to apply heaven's epoxy to our marriage relationship. In the third place, you go back to Genesis 2 and 24, and it says that we need to assure that heaven's unity is in our marriage. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother, priority, be joined to his wife, epoxy, and the two shall become one flesh, unity. God is the one who joins a husband and wife together. And when God takes the two, the Bible says in Genesis 2 and Jesus says in Matthew 19 that God makes them no longer two, God makes them one. You know, when you affirm the priority, it's no longer about I, it's about we. Priority of the marriage involves we and not I. The applying the epoxy is not about me. Agape love is about you, not me. But when you come to the unity, it's no longer about two. But now it's about one. Where God joins a married couple and they become one physically. They become one as if it were one body, one flesh. To wear as one body and joined together as one physically, it's as if they have one energy that is working together. They become one emotionally. Now, this scares some men to think about this, but God makes us one emotionally. What does that mean? We have one heart. If the New Testament church, the Bible says, was of one heart, if they could be of one heart, then a husband and wife most certainly must be of one heart, one spirit. Joined together in that regard. Husband and wife need to be one mentally. And this scares some women to think they've got to be one mentally with their husband. But what's God doing? God is taking two and He's making one. Now, it's one flesh, but what's involved in that? One physically, one emotionally, one mentally. We have one direction we're trying to go. We're not trying to go in two separate directions. That's not one. That's two different directions. We're trying to go one direction. We're of one mind. We are of one focus. And God makes us one spiritually. He takes two Christians. He joins them together. They become one spiritually. They now have one aim. They now have one singular hope together. And that's to go to heaven. Together. That's the unity that God wants in a marriage relationship. Not to think about how I can be independent from my marriage, but to think about how we together can be interdependent upon each other and upon our God. Recognizing that Jesus said, "These are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let not man separate." A lot of marriages today that are like that retaining wall out in San Antonio that collapsed because the builder tried to skimp on the mortar and not do what the building plans called for. A lot of marriages would do well today to go back to the blueprint, to go back to the original specifications, and to affirm to each other, even this day, to verbally say to your husband, to verbally say to your wife, you are my priority. To verbally say to your husband or your wife, I love you. Agape love. I am joined to you, glued to you, and I'm thankful for it. Say to your husband or wife, I am thankful that God made me one with you. We live in a world where marriages are about as disposable as anything else that you can buy at the store. But that's not the way God designed it to be. May God help us to come back to His plan.